Hi, welcome to StanLib's weekly economic podcast. My name is Kevin Lings and I'm the chief economist within StanLib. The intention with these weekly podcasts is to unpack some of the key economic developments that have unfolded over the past week. And for this week, I think we need to focus on two issues. The first is the US labor market. We got a lot of employment data out of the US last week, including the job openings, the ADP private sector employment survey, the weekly jobless claims, and obviously the main labor market report. And I think that gives us some sense of the strengths and weaknesses within the US labor market, which I think will be interesting to discuss. The second is South Africa's disappointing GDP for the third quarter, declined 0.2%. And I think we need to unpack some of that detail and then also talk about what are the prospects for next year. This is the last weekly podcast for the year. We'll resume our weekly podcasts around the middle of next year. So for everybody who listens, I hope you have a good end of year season, a good rest period. I'm certainly taking a couple of weeks off, and then we'll come back and see what the year looks like early in January. If you look at the broad range of US employment data that was released last week, it looks compellingly strong. Yes, the weekly jobless claims are moving down, but they remain at 8.7 million, which is well above the number of people unemployed. I think that sits at just over 6 million people. The weekly jobless claims, they remain relatively low, suggesting there's not a huge number of people that are losing their jobs on a monthly basis. And then if I look at the main labor market report that was released on Friday, it's also compellingly good. The unemployment rate moved down to 3.7%. Market was expecting it to remain unchanged at 3.9%. Some people were saying that the unemployment rate is going to move above 4%. Instead, it's surprised down at 3.7%. That's essentially full employment. If I look at the number of jobs being created in the month, 199,000, also above expectations. Yes, 199,000 isn't as good as they've had in the last couple of years, but it's a decent increase in employment, suggesting that the labor market at this stage is holding on well given where interest rates are. So that raises the question, are interest rates having an impact? Should the Federal Reserve be pushing interest rates substantially higher? Do they need the labor market to weaken dramatically in order to get inflation under control? And I think all of that is perhaps a little bit misleading. If we break down the data a little bit further, we can see that those sectors that are more sensitive to interest rates are weakening. If I look at something like the retail sector, there are job losses coming through, not every single month, but on a regular basis. And so it feels to us that the sectors that are holding on, the sectors that are creating jobs, those are pretty much in the sectors that are relatively interest rate insensitive. So let me put some numbers to that. Over the last 6 months, the US has created essentially 1.1 million jobs. In 6 months, that's a decent outcome. Again, it's not rampant employment, but it's a healthy gain, and it certainly is not reflective of any significant slowdown or a recession. Now, if we take those 1.1 million jobs, and we say how many of those jobs were added in sectors such as government, education, healthcare, those sectors are not particularly interest rate sensitive. In other words, government doesn't change their employment based on interest rates. Likewise, the healthcare sector generally doesn't increase or decrease employment primarily due to an interest rate cycle. So when we add those three sectors together, government, education, and healthcare, they account for 78% of all the jobs added over the last 6 months. That indicates that the other sectors, which there are many of, broad-based, manufacturing and retail and technology and a whole range of other private sector services, those sectors are more interest rate sensitive. And they barely add in any jobs. In fact, if you put them all together, they've only added 240,000 jobs over the last 6 months. That is commensurate with an economic slowdown. And so I think you would have to argue that as you delve into the data, interest rates are having an effect on key parts of the US economy. They are softening the labor market and leading to some moderation in job gains. Again, none of that is reflective of an economic recession. but it's certainly reflective of an economic slowdown. And it's very unlikely that the government will keep adding jobs at the same pace, or that the healthcare sector will do something similar. Those job gains will moderate over time. If I look particularly at government, most of the jobs are being added in local and state government, and a lot of that is simply catch-up employment relative to where they've been previously. So I think those elements will naturally taper off, and I think we'll be left with a labour market that is softer than where it is now during the course of next year, and more reflective of what you would expect given the overall level of interest rates. The second area of discussion is South Africa's disappointing GDP performance for the third quarter of the year. During the quarter, the economy declined by 0.2%, and while 0.2% isn't a huge decline, psychologically it's very important because it signals that the economy is now in contraction. It's also very possible that next quarter we have another decline and South Africa experiences a technical recession. If I look at some of the factors that caused the economy to lose momentum in the third quarter, many of those factors are prevalent in the final quarter of the year and probably into the first quarter next year. Things like interest rates, they're going to remain elevated until we think around the middle of next year. If I think about load shedding, that has continued on. And now we've got this huge constraint in rail and port capacity, and clearly that will disrupt overall economic activity, certainly during the final quarter of the year. So it's possible that South Africa has a technical recession. It's also likely that the economy remains weak into the early part of next year. All of this means that for the year as a whole, South Africa is likely to have grown the economy by about 0.5%. And even that feels a bit generous. So 0.5% economic growth is not a great outcome. Now, some people will argue, well, you're surprised that we had any growth at all, given the circumstances, right? So we've got high interest rates, we've got ongoing load shedding, we've got rail and port constraints. To get 0.5% growth out of all of that is actually a decent outcome. I think there's an argument you can make around it, but it, I think, misses the point. 0.5% is dismal when you've got a population growing at 1.6%, and so we've got to do a hell of a lot better. The problem with us trying to do a hell of a lot better is that there are these overarching constraints, what we call binding constraints, factors that are inhibiting South Africa's growth performance almost irrespective. In other words, if you're the Reserve Bank, you could cut interest rates dramatically and the economy still wouldn't do that much better, because we ultimately have got persistent load shedding and other infrastructure constraints, and that in order to lift the growth meaningfully, we've got to find a way to relieve those constraints. Fortunately, I think that the electricity constraint will be scaled back during the course of next year. I think load shedding will dissipate as the year progresses, and clearly that's going to help in terms of boosting South Africa's economic performance. But now we've got this rail and port capacity constraint that has become more evident, and clearly that's going to peg back South Africa's export performance. It's also going to hurt supply chains in South Africa and limit our ability to move goods into South Africa reasonably quickly. And so it means that companies, retailers are going to have to do more advanced planning on trying to get their goods in on time. They're going to have to hold bigger inventory levels. All of that comes at a cost, and that cost may well reflect in inflationary pressure during the course of next year. So a couple of factors to be aware of. I still think that we're going to get overall better economic performance next year than we have this year. I think the economy will get even stronger into 2025. I think the election next year will in itself boost economic activity. As I said, interest rate cuts during the course of next year, that should help easing of load shedding, a better agricultural season, which looks entirely feasible. And so there are a number of things to be a bit more optimistic about. But all of that translates to growth that is barely above 2% at its best. And 2% is simply not fast enough. And so you can't get away from this ongoing problem South Africa faces in terms of these binding or infrastructure constraints. And that's where the emphasis has to be. Just quickly on the GDP numbers itself, where was the weakness? It was really on the productive sectors. So if we look at a declining construction, declining manufacturing, mining contracted, all of those being negatively impacted by load shedding and port and rail capacity. And clearly, those sectors have the potential to add huge value and are critical for South Africa's overall economic performance. Where we did see growth, it was more to do with business services or specifically financial services, so that clearly helped. Government provided a little bit of growth, but overall, you end up with a mix that says that the services element of the economy is doing better than the productive element, but it doesn't suggest that the economy is that strong overall. I would just flag the retail sector declined in the quarter, and there's no doubt that the household sector is coming under more pressure. Incomes are not keeping pace with inflation. The interest rate is starting to hurt there. And so I think we've got to anticipate a very sluggish start to consumer spending in the early part of next year, especially if inventory levels are a bit depleted, given the supply constraints that South Africa is facing. So I remain optimistic that the economy will get better over the next 2 years, but I think that optimism has to be tempered by the reality of our persistent infrastructure constraints and a lack of urgency on the part of government to do something meaningful to change those circumstances. So that's all from me for this year's podcasts. I hope you have a great festive season. As I said at the start, I will resume again early next year. And please, if there are any topics you want specifically covered, let us know. We can certainly delve into those. We'll continue to monitor the key economic data points and provide regular updates. And if we need to, we'll provide interim updates depending on how data evolves. Thanks a lot.